Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome the Christian Television Network audience and our radio audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, if you missed our earlier programs, we were talking about, and you can still catch them at VFNTV.com or even on our app, but talking about how this, they're talking about Yellowstone, earthquakes, and possible super volcano. Mm-hmm. Super volcano that would cover the earth potentially with, cover America with ash. Hmm. You got, and bison, you're going to see a video of bisons, buffalo running out on the interstate.
Like 50 to 100 of them, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, not like 22.
Yeah, man. It's like not good.
No,
not good
at all.
And then also talking about hunger. I mean, we're going to continue, as a matter of fact, in this program, talking more about hunger because, getting hungry for God and what does that really mean and what's the ramifications? And we talked about Heidi Baker and Irish Ministries and how she was touched and what she's doing in response to that and how her love draws people to that love affair, because he says, you'll know that they'll know that you're mine by your love for each other, but also they'll know that you're mine and that I love them because of your unified work for me, love for me. And the thing is that we're finding out that sometimes, people are drawn to other people's relationship with God, but they don't have one. Mm-hmm. You can catch that in our earlier program. We're going to continue this conversation about hunger because, you got the four blood moons coming up. You have bison running from Yellowstone. We have economic just major difficulties, happening, and really nobody's really talking about it. Mm-mm. And it doesn't go away if you bury your head in the sand of denial. It just doesn't go
Imagine
away.
Imagine that.
Yeah, but if you bury your head in the sand of denial, please don't have an opinion when you pull it out.
Right.
He's just like, well, I think you still have sand right here. It's about God lets us know there's nothing that should catch us by surprise. Mm-hmm. As followers of the Lord, God is not a God. He is the God. There is no other God him. His son's name is Jesus Christ, and his spirit is here on the earth. And understand this, that he is aware of all things. Not even a sparrow falls from the sky outside of his permission. And not only does he know how many hairs you have on your head, but each of those hairs have a number. And so don't think this God that you have a relationship is not going to let you know what's up.
That's right.
And you can't shut it down because the news tells you something different in your eyes than God's already told you in your heart. Just say, this is what God is saying. This is what's going on. And understand that he has good plans in store for those that are his. Mm-hmm. Plans to bless you and prosper you and restore the years the locusts have devoured. But he wants everyone to know him. He wants his church, who has put some of it has gone astray, to turn back to him. Those that are called by his name. And then he wants the lost to be won. For whatever reason the Lord has chose us. He's chose to the foolishness of what is preached to use people who are not, mm-hmm. who are weak and are flawed and are clay. And he puts his all-surpassing power in us to go tell people how awesome he is. So we have God uses broken people. Think about this. Broken people to go tell broken people about a whole God.
That's right.
Think about that.
Wow.
That chose, because he loves you, to be broken on a cross. We're broken because of our sin. He was actually nailed to the cross by choice. So often people just say, I'm not worthy enough to tell anybody about what an evil. Is that not evil? I mean, think about that. The evilest lie you could probably ever believe is like, who am I to tell somebody about Jesus?
Right.
I mean, does the devil not win in that? He's condemned you and made you feel horrific, and now you feel unworthy to tell somebody about who's holding the universe together and who's actually made you a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God.
That's it.
That's the enemy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The best way to defeat the enemy is let people know. Just tell them about Jesus. And somebody says, well, look at my flaws. You're a clay vessel. Mm. God does that to show. This is what they'll do. They'll go, Lord, the fact that you saved that man knows that I could be saved, right?
That's
Isn't that
right.
true?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you're thinking that's the opposite. You're thinking they're not going to be saved because they see how flawed you are. And the truth is, they will see God in you, and they'll be able to go, man, there's hope for me. That's what Paul said.
Yeah.
Paul said, this, the reason why God saved me, because I was the chiefest of sinners to prove that how merciful he is. Mm. Is that not something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. So really, the more broken you are, probably the greater witness you'll be.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's right. Yeah.
And so you think about...
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah.
I remember somebody coming to the Lord because they said, man, if God did this in Pat's life,
yeah,
and they came on in, man.
That's right.
It drew them in with great hunger.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
I knew the BC. It was amazing. It was wow. Something.
Second Street.
Selah. Okay, the... no, it's Second Street. Oh. Although I do see the trenches and the scars if you go down and visit the museum down there.
Right. The mausoleum.
The mausoleum. The mausoleum. That was the store clerk. Anyway, but think about it. So hunger. And think about this too, that just there are some people that when Jesus passed by, they ran after him. They wanted more of him. Mm-hmm. And there are some people that didn't even give him the time of day. They didn't. It's like, oh, well, you know, we got this program going on now. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that ran after him. And some people ran after him, wanted the physical provision that he could offer. The physical provision that he could offer. But in regards to what he could offer eternal life, that's something they weren't interested in. Because what he said after healing a multitude of people, and I think it's John chapter 6, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Then people just started leaving.
Amazing. They're seeking Jesus' hand and ignoring his face.
Right. And so... The question is who are you seeking? What are you seeking? And I'm talking about getting hungry for God, not hungry. There's so many folks. I mean, they're wanting a church growth program. They want a bigger budget. They want to do more stuff and things, but they don't necessarily want God. I mean, they're not thinking mm-hmm. like they just somebody's convinced you that that's God. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is actually some church growth programs. If you'll get everybody in debt, they will go out and win giving units. Ooh, they'll win wow. people that'll come in to this building.
Wow.
And they will give. And this will because the debt's so heavy on the people. I'm paraphrasing wow. this part. The debt's so heavy on the ones now that took this huge mortgage out. They'll actually go to the streets and knock on somebody's door because they're thinking when they're knocking on that person's door that this person's going to help us pay off the debt.
Wow.
Wow.
And the truth is we win people to the one who paid our sin debt. It has nothing to do with financial debt. Mm. And if we think about it, and if it took slavery, because those are in debt or slave to the lender, right? Mm-hmm. And you're winning people to be able to serve this master, this lender. How evil? I mean, how wrong is that? And then you're wondering why they're all into the next growth program in regards to building wings on all that kind of stuff. It's like that's how I was won. You know, we just need. And the thing is, like, versus this. Falling in love with God. Mm. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He's real. He's present. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He knows everything at all times at the very same moment. He chose the very seasons that you would live, the place that you would live, the address that you would live for one reason, to see if you would get hungry for him, that you would reach out for him and touch him, though he's not far from you. And so that's the whole thing. It's like I don't know how long your life is, and I don't know how long mine is. But the question is, what are you doing with the life that you have? And it's amazing when you begin to go after him, what you used to think was so long, 365 days, becomes a minute. It's like you blink and a decade's gone.
It's gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just, if you don't grab a hold of this vapor, this time, because you're so in love with him, you're thinking, think about this. This is the only time you have in all eternity to do anything for him in the context of in this present state under bringing him glory through his son, Jesus Christ, in gratitude by choice in regards to saying, you know what? I'm going to give all my life to him. This is it. Because when you get to a place where there's no sin and no temptations, and no, I mean, it's not the same paradigm. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. But this is my only opportunity. This is your only opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to give more of my paycheck to God. You know, I'm gonna sow financially into Iris Ministries, you know, and in Mozambique. I'm gonna partner with VFN Radio and VFN TV. I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna go out and physically tell somebody. I'm gonna spend the rest of my life, and you'll find out when you get in this whole just, you know, I just love him so much. That really messes with a lot of religious folks because they're trying to figure out, you know, whoa, this is what somebody just once said to me. They said, you just do it. And it's like, right?
It's is like, there another option?
If you just love him, right?
Yeah.
You just, if you read it, you do it. I know Brother Ken, spiritual father, has gone to be with the Lord now. Somebody said, well, how did you do it? What did you do? He says, well, I heard and I obeyed.
That's it.
You know, I just think differently. I think like, isn't that what we all do? And then right. I begin to meet the church like, oh no. Mm-hmm. I strategize, theorize,
rationalize,
and make sure that I don't lose anything in this plan. Yeah. And then I go forward. And that's not faith. That's right. Actually just a man's plan, wisdom of the world. But think about this. What if, and understand this, you know, this is what Jesus, John, this is what Jesus said. He says, my sheep know my voice. So if you don't, I mean, think about it. If you don't know his voice, because there's a day that you're going to hear the voice of the Son of Man, Son of God, and you're going to live, which means if you haven't heard his voice, if you don't, and understand he speaks, not like you're necessarily speaking. Sometimes he does, but just, you know that you know. In the context of that. And then he says, and not only did they hear my voice, they just don't hear me like a teenager would hear a parent and say, okay, I got you, and just do their own thing, for example, some teenager. But they hear his voice and they follow him. And they follow none other. You know, some people say, well, how come you're not with me anymore? And the person may say, it's like, well, you're not following Jesus. I mean, you were following Jesus.
Right.
And we would still be together,
yeah,
following the same Lord if you didn't take that turn. Think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you start bumping into people who abide and hear the Lord's voice, and let me tell you something, if you have not yet began to abide with him, he wants to abide with you. He wants you to spend time and begin to learn his voice. We have a plan for you at iabide.org. Know this, that hearing his voice and following him is the greatest reward ever. And you have this a limited amount of time while you're here on earth to be able to do this. I got to talk more about this after this break. Got to go break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It happens all too often. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. If you're facing frequent conflict with a family member, Ken Sandy is here to suggest reevaluating your approach.
Even in Christian homes, we can have things we want, good things, but we want them too much. Wanting my wife's respect, a wife wanting husband's time to be with the kids, but if we raise them up to the level they become demands, then we begin to expect it. And if they don't give it to us, then we move to, I judge, you're doing something wrong. And finally, when that progression goes on, to, I punish. I'm going to punish you. I'll be cold. I'll be distant. I'll just go and spend time with my buddies.
Well, that is a cold place. And when your simple request turns into a demand, anger isn't far behind. So be aware of that and then stop the outburst by refocusing your thoughts through prayer. You'll find more trusted relationship advice at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports. I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right?
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now, and the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about hunger, getting hungry for God. And you hear us talk about, and we can't help but tell you what the Lord is making known to us. That was one of the driving realities of the birthing. I think about Nightline. When Nightline was birthed, it was birthed because there was hostages being held in Iran.
Wow.
And every day they would count day 12, day 100, day 200. And there was this burning reality that we had to blow this trumpet. You know, when you think about, you know, Ezekiel 12, and you think about Ezekiel 33, and he says you got to say, and that's blowing the trumpet. But understand this. God, it's not about God writing America off or writing you off or writing anybody off. It's about writing more people in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's wanting us to be saved. Right. And so he even says it in Hebrews chapter 12, consider hardship as discipline, that God is treating you as a son. And so hardship is not destructive judgment from God and just like, you know, doing away with you, but you know, judges every day issue verdicts about getting things back in order again. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to do. And so you think about, so how could all this tragedy and trouble that's coming and is here now, and this is we're like in suspended animation. It's sort of like, it should have imploded earlier, but the grace of God has kept us, I think that men who are used by darkness unaware as are shocked that mankind has not lost it yet.
Yeah.
That they don't have a clue, but they don't understand what they don't understand, how they're blinded, that men can be blinded too. And they don't have a clue either. These dark leaders don't know how they're being used by the enemy. They think they have a good plan, their utopias and all. But the people that they're actually deceiving don't even know. They don't even know that they're just as blind. Because the second their eyes are opened up, the second they hear the gospel and they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, all of a sudden their eyes, their minds no longer blinded, and they just all of a sudden can see what's taking place. And so you think about, so tragedy, we've seen it. We've seen it with, in the past we might not have taken as advantage of the opportunity. We didn't seize the opportunity, the lifetime of that particular opportunity. But we were hit with like 5 hurricanes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It was so severe that you were just trying to pick yourself up and to go again. But since then, we prepared in a better way to be more focused and to do that. But we did to adopt a family. We did all these different things to be able to help out. We partnered with CBN.
CBN.
And Jody Harrington, which is, no, she's got a different last name now.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Spanish last name.
Is it?
Yeah. She married Humberto.
Oh, wow.
Humberto.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, anyway, so, hey, Jody. And so, so what happens, though, when hardship comes, when all of a sudden, when people are thinking, you know, my job is the answer, and it's like, I just got fired.
Hello.
So that wasn't the answer. And so they begin to look for the answer. Or everything's going perfect in their family. Do you love those guys that go, my family's just perfect. Perfect family. Family's perfect. Perfect family. Right. Family's perfect. Perfect family. And you're just like, right.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like, really? And of course, it's not true. Nobody has a perfect family, but projecting that over. Or maybe you're speaking faith. That's good. Speak faith over. But in regards to all of a sudden when your job's not perfect anymore, all of a sudden when your family's not perfect anymore, all of a sudden when your relationships aren't perfect anymore, all of a sudden when things start, your perception of what you thought was going to last forever lasted just for a week, and then you're turning to God. This is a time for us to understand that that's a moment that we can minister. And so I'm thinking about, and imagine standing on a mountain like Moses did, and the mountain's shaking and quaking, and you love God. You're not concerned about death. You're not concerned about, you know, God loves you. You're not concerned about your relationship with him. You're not walking around with unrepentant sin, and you're standing on this mountain that's shaking and quaking, and God's backing you up. Now the signs and wonders are taking place, and be ready to say, you know, don't fall to the ground and don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to preach like you never. I mean, I was just preaching at the Dream Center. I don't know if you remember, I was preaching at the Dream Center. And yeah, right in time, right in perfect timing, when I was delivering a specific word, I mean, the whole place rocked as God, just thunder, bam.
Exclamation point.
It was great, you know, and don't stop at that point. Just realize he's, and the Lord really showed me some time back about his voice, the church. You're going to, God speaks through this. He speaks through this. But I remember there was this in this vision, this dream, that all of a sudden, in this normal day, all of a sudden this thunder was so loud. I mean, it was just unbearably, terrifyingly loud that everybody ran for cover. And it was God speaking. Mm-hmm. It was God speaking. And this is where we have to learn to stand when God's speaking, and we run for cover when you don't know him, when you don't have that intimate relationship and understand. Moses sat there and took notes while God was talking. Okay, right. Commandment one, commandment two. The second time around, God wrote it the first time. Second time, he's like, listen, I'm not going to write this. You're going to have to write this. And so I can see this quaking and shaking, and I can see that now in regards to, you know, Franklin Graham. He's in a nation that's being quaked and shaked. You know, he's in the Ukraine, right? Mm-hmm. And he's in...
Billy Graham's ministry is there.
Billy Graham's ministry. And look what's happening now. Tell us about what's happening with the hunger. And yeah.
It's amazing. You know, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, sent out a letter through their ministry, Billy Graham Evangelical Association Ministry, and they're asking us to pray for Ukraine. And what happened, as we know, in just, you know, recent time here, Russia basically annexed Crimea.
Well, the president that they had at that time, bought him out, obviously.
Right.
And he bought into him coming in. Next thing you know, he opened this gateway for Russia to come in and start trying to brought their military in.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that in detail, because you think about it, how many Americans would throw their hands up and the people in the church would say, this is terrible, versus like, this is a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so they even took up, go ahead.
They took over that land territory now, and so with great, you know, unrest, uncertainty, you know, the believers in that country is a small percentage. Mm. It's a small percentage. Yet during that time of their country's chaos right now, they started going out into the streets. They're ministering. They're passing out 5,000 Bibles a day. Okay, they set up tents for counseling and for prayer. And they're ministering to the needs of the people, and the people are so hungry because of great times of uncertainty. They're looking at, you know, Russian people that are soldiers are coming to their territory. Mm. And Franklin Graham is saying, listen, pray for them. You know, they have ministries there, and they were able to get in contact with the current president, the interim president, and he's asked for prayer. Pray for Ukraine, but there's a move of God that's stirring during this horrible time, you know, that's going on in their life. And so, listen, it's not always horrible. God's on a move.
And that's so it could be the best of times and the worst of times.
Absolutely.
So what do they say about this new leader, this interim leader?
This is what they're saying, and I want to get the direct quote here for you. It said, observers say, and I'm not going to pronounce his name, but the interim president was chosen because in a nation plagued by corruption and self-serving politicians, he stood out as a man of conviction and principle, with a reputation for integrity. He is a man of godly character and a committed follower of Jesus Christ.
So think about this. A nation that was going to pot.
Wow.
Who had gold-plated, probably scrambled eggs in the morning, the leader did, just sucking all the resources away and being bought out by Russia, probably, that Instantly, God replaced him. God replaced this man, the previous president, mm-hmm. by the people and with a man of godly character. They replaced corrupt politicians, people that were just thinking of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it, America. Wow. I mean, overnight, people lead in America by giving permission to be in an office. Mm-hmm. And it's a government by the people, for the people, that all of a sudden, men and women of godly character could be sitting in those offices and immediately, and they could be trustworthy because they went from not trustworthy to trustworthy leader.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that powerful?
Awesome.
And I was watching CBN News, and we don't have the footage, but I actually saw the footage of what you're talking about, where they're standing on the streets and they're going, man, we're walking right into those big riotous, and they're angry at what happened in the government, not against each other, and they're preaching the gospel in the midst of all of that.
Yeah.
And they're just left and right, and they're so excited because you're looking at different denominations, so you have different garb mm-hmm. and all the things going on. It's like, man, it's time for us to work together. It reminds me of the Lighthouse Prophecy, 700 ministers yeah. working together. So it can be. So then when somebody says, well, that's gloom and doom to talk about difficult times. If it wins souls, if it causes a nation to put godly leadership in place, are we going to complain about ungodly leadership? We're going to complain about lack of integrity and just worried about themselves and their money and their increase without being willing to say, God, whatever you got to do, whatever you got to do, turn America back to you. Turn America back to you, to your original intent for this nation. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty for all and justice for all. We ask this in Jesus' name. He said, this is what Franklin says. He says, please pray for peace in the Ukraine. Pray for peace. Realize also this president, this previous president's removed. He's repenting now and said he was wrong. And he's saying that Russia needs to get out. And that's just beautiful. Totally beautiful. Listen, God can change things in a moment's time.
Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, and I can understand maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope. against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. You know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV, the daily radio program. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our radio audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
The producer of the program. Does a wonderful job. That's why he's always just detailed and all that. And John Ramos. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't even hear. Did you hear John?
Hello.
Hey. Hello. Talking to the mic, man.
We can take that back there.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, that we're going to be talking about, if you missed our earlier programs, you need to catch them, about being hungry for God and how Yellowstone, buffalo are running out of Yellowstone Park, and an earthquake and possible super volcano and ash covering America coming on the four blood moons and all this taking place. And about Irish ministries and how what hunger looks like, and just praying that God would give us hunger. And just, man, don't forget, we're four programs back to back. And if you missed any of them, you can catch it at VFNTV.com. We want to be speaking about in this program about unity, about diversity, about when you think about it, America is like a melting pot. America is a melting pot where nobody's really, except for the First Nation, and they were right here originally, but they were here before anybody else got here. Mm-hmm. First Nation folks, which a lot of people, you know, the First Nation folks, this is what they say. They said, you know, when the white man showed up in America, you know what that was? That was the day that we found out we were Indians. I mean, it was their land. Right. It was their land. It wasn't, you know, but people just begin to project and that type of thing. And we're not even going to go there in regards to how that all happened, the Trail of Tears and just broken stuff. Listen, there is, God is just God, but if we repent and make things right, and then God will, you know, chart a new course for us. But in that, that the uniqueness about America, because you think about it, you have people now saying that, we don't need to say the Pledge of Allegiance. You have people in city council, three of them sits down, while five of them stands up when they say the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's like, who are you serving?
Right.
Some schools, you know, are, you know, not doing the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's like, what's the big deal that, you know, if we're so deluded and we're so watered down that we might not be able to answer how significant that is. And the significance of the Pledge of Allegiance is that's our common cause.
Pledging allegiance.
A pledge allegiance, which is who has allegiance today when you think about
goodness.
It? I mean, marriage, you know, I'm with you forever until I get a new word and all these different things going on, right? And, it's a pledge of allegiance. Well, you're pledging allegiance. And it makes you think about, well, every leader, whether you're the president or senator or vice president or congressman or governor or new citizen coming in, I mean, you got to pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and to protect her from enemies, foreign and domestic. I mean, this allegiance factor, and you got to renounce all potentates and foreign whatever that was different than, and so the commonality of America was, if you come to America, this is the vision over America. It's a melting pot. The thing about a melting pot is when you melt together, you're one. Mm-hmm. Though we're many, we're one, right? E pluribus unum.
Right.
And it's the opposite of what the enemy's trying to do to the world right now, really. But to America was, though though we're one, we're many. The opposite of that. But when you see E Pluribus Unum, it says, though that we're many, we're one. But what is the one that we are? We're one nation under God. We believe that this Constitution is a law. It's a nation of laws, and that we're guided by that. And so when you start having people say, hey, we need to bring folks in that think that the Constitution is not the right thing to do. You have universities saying that it's outdated. When you have people saying, I don't want to pledge allegiance to it anymore, you're not going to have it much longer. Hmm. That's just the facts. Unless things turn, you won't have it much longer. Because that is it. That's what the pledge of, that's why you stand up at the at the ball game and you put your hand over your heart, because it ties in, believe it or not, with a Constitution, which most folks really don't already know, you know, all about. But understand this, in the Constitution, it prevents a law enforcement officer from just pulling you over for whatever reason they want to, pilfering your pockets and your car and your house and just going through what they don't want to, arresting you without cause, probable cause. It prevents them from putting you in jail without actually having probable cause and keeping you there without a fair trial. I mean, all these different things, that's the Constitution. Mm-hmm. The very fact that Washington, D.C. exists, I'm talking about the government, is because the Constitution specifically says so in article this and article that and article this. The article says we're going to have a president. The article this says we're going to have a vice president. The article that says there's going to be a Congress. There's going to be a judiciary branch. And so it's written in the Constitution. So if the crew in D.C. is saying that they don't stand for the Constitution, they need to go ahead and just leave, because they're existing in the context of this Constitution that God allowed to stand. But most folks don't even know that. They're going like Article 12 or whatever. That is actually them talking about the Constitution.
Right.
That's what it is. And so in the very First Amendment, of course, is the right for us to be able to do what we're doing right now and talk about Jesus and just share our viewpoints on the values and the things that are happening, including the Constitution, and for free speech and media. And when somebody says stuff like, hey, we want to put a government employee at every news facility so we can monitor what you're doing, that's a violation of the First Amendment. Or when all your data is being searched without your permission, that's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. When Americans are getting locked up without probable cause and not going to trial, that's a violation of the Constitution. I mean, you think about all these different things that are going on, and it's like, man, what is what's really going on? And so you hear words. There's little words that are going on right now that, and when you hear these words, they can mean it's a God word or it's not a God word, you know. But it's not automatically a God thing. And this is important, because this is the ultimate thing. Because in the end, and I don't know how close we are to the end, there's going to be a one world religion. I mean, everybody's just going to say, this is it. And so there's going to be unity around that. So the word unity, just unity in itself, does not mean that's of God. You know what I'm saying? So understand, and this is what Jesus said. This is what God said through his son, because Jesus said nothing unless he heard his father say it, the creator of the universe. He says, every kingdom divided will fall. And so the way the enemy begins to cause a kingdom to fall, he begins to divide it. The way he begins to cause a marriage to fall, he begins to divide a husband and wife and a family. Jesus even said, even every family divided will fall. He didn't say my fall. But to say it's not going to fall is to call Jesus a liar. The question is how can we get united around the original intent of God's intent for this nation? How can we get back to that? If not, it's going to fall. Obviously, the land possibly is going to be here if the Yellowstone doesn't remove it. But you know, it doesn't mean that it's going to be like it is now. And so what is going on? Well, some of the buzzwords you're hearing are like unity. Another word you're hearing is tolerance. You know, tolerate. And the thing about it is, you know, is God into unity? Yeah, he's into unity. Christ-centered unity. He wants us to be so unified that when they see us, his church, believers, that they don't know whether they're looking at Jesus or they're looking at you. That's how unified he wants you to be.
United with God.
But does he want darkness to be unified with light? Absolutely not. He doesn't want. As a matter of fact, he says they have no business even dwelling together, which means unity for unity's sake is not of God. But unity in regards to the church, we're talking about a biblical perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Is to unify around Christ-centeredness. What does Jesus say? And is he the Lord of that unified body or that unified denomination or unified effort? And it's important because he's Lord. And so unity itself is not automatically a God word. So people say, you know, we're having this unity meeting. I mean, they have churches called unity that does nothing to do with God. And so second word that you hear is diversity. Well, understand diversities and how God's created human beings is beautiful. I mean, it's so beautiful. I mean, I love diversity. I'm very eclectic, and I just love the beauty of the bouquet of God's creativeness. But in regards to diversity in gods, no. You know, this is not India. You know, we're not Hindus.
Right.
Having 360 something million gods. That diversity in gods is not what God wants for his church. As a matter of fact, he says there'll only be one God. And above him, there's none other. Then he says he's jealous God. So not only does he say, listen, you can only unify with me as God and around me as God and around my son as God, but you don't bring other gods into this unity. There's no such thing as Chrislam and these things going on. And so unity for diversity and unity in regards to our cultures, in regards to, you know, who we are as a people is beautiful. But diversity in gods, that's where the line is drawn. It's like, well, that's, you know, I love you as a person, but we're talking the church here. Mm. We're talking the body of Christ. He says, no other God. I can't. I'm sorry. Yeah, I've got to let you know, man, if you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you know, we're in there, brother. But if you want to deny Jesus as the Son of God and you want to say he's only a prophet and you have to deny that for you able to enter into a loyal Muslim, sorry. There's, you know, and so in the context of that, so diversity, and so what you're seeing is this is the way that the enemy would take down a nation or take down a relationship to begin to bring in other gods, you know, to be able to bring in, just say, you know, let's just unify around what and for what reason and what happened to our original cause and what are we pledging allegiance to in the context of that. So these words do not automatically mean that that they're of God, but yet our tolerance. I mean, tolerance is, that is the word. I think that's things happening right now is everything's being tolerated except Jews and Christians.
Right.
That's a clue, by the way. That's just like a huge clue. It's like, think about it. If that's a true statement all around the world, it helps you understand, and you're on that side, it helps you understand you're on the wrong side, because why in the world would somebody who's going to lay down their life, who's going to feed you, who's going to pray for you, who's going to minister to you, who's going to give you all these, I mean, Israel's like blessing the whole world with all these things that God's giving them. But yet everything is against them. And the context of that is like, in regards to the world, you say, wait a minute, I might be on the wrong side here.
Come on.
And this is what Jesus said. He said, wide is the road that leads to what I'm talking about. But narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. And few find it. So it's not about getting unified with the world. It's about being unified, and it's not about tolerating in the context of the world. We'll talk more about that after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says, visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just... You see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know, when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Big and beautiful this morning, John Ramos.
Hey. Hello.
We were on a stage ministering, I don't know, a couple hundred men, feeding them spaghetti, ministering the gospel. And we're talking about, I think, racial reconciliation or something. And I said, man, I said, you're beautiful. And all of his masculinity was risked. 200 men, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm like, dude, I'm not really telling the truth here. No. You're not beautiful. No, I'm just trying to make up for the height difference and everything. You know? But seriously, I'll remember that. You're like, oh my goodness, beautiful. You know, I meant that in a masculine. Isn't he though?
Thank you.
He's got he's got glamour shots. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Really?
Ian, I'm so sorry. We're getting to our list. This is where we're going.
Thank you for the list, Ian.
Welcome to the Christian Television Network across the world. You got to see John's glamour shot.
No glamour shots. No glamour shots.
They're all glamour shots. He waits like a long time.
You forgot, really? You know, you were like,
oh, please.
Ian, get back to Ian's list.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about, you know, unity and buzzwords and tolerance and all these different things taking place, but understanding that just because these words are used by God in his word does not mean it's a standard rubber stamp for it means the same thing everywhere you go.
That's right.
As we were talking about. And one word is tolerance, you know, and you notice how there's very little tolerance in regards to Christians and Jews. And historically it's been that way. But America has been a place that was one nation under God, and understanding the context of that, but still, those that are loyal to Jesus, there tends to be some conflict happening in the world, because to say that you're right is to say they're wrong, and that's difficult for folks. Mm. But tolerance, I mean, you hear that word a lot, you know, that is, I remember in law enforcement, they would teach, you know, classes on tolerance and diversity and this type of thing. And I remember, we're not going to talk about the too many topics, but there was a sheriff who was running for office, and he was talking about, you know, out loud about what he was tolerating and what he was doing. Mm. And so, in the context of it, that, what does God say about that? And, you know, this is the Lord. When you think about it, the Lord loves people. He loves all people. Mm. Secondly, that when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you repent for your sins, he forgives you for sins, but you're still flawed. So by his grace and in view of his mercy, you know, he's very tolerant of his children and our journey. I mean, he's very tolerant. But he's not tolerant of sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been almost this whole thing about that, you know, I know it's sin, but, and it's like, but did you read the word? 81% of the people don't read their Bibles at all, pick it up.
Right.
But he's not tolerant of sin. Sin separates us from God. Right. Separates us from conscious sin, we know that God says we're not to do, and we do that, knowing he says not to do it consciously. It's like consciously crucifying Christ all over again.
Right.
And versus falling into sin, being lured into sin, and repenting because you don't want that in your life, versus premeditated complex. And so, but he says very specifically in Revelation chapter 2, he says, I got this against you. And he's talking to the church that you tolerate. I mean, he actually had against his folks their tolerance. He says, do you tolerate people that are very religious? I'm going to paraphrase this. You're very religious who say they're hearing from me and they're not. And then because of your tolerance of that, they're misleading a lot of my people, and they're all going in a very bad place. It's going to end up in a bed of suffering separate from me. That's what he says, right? Mm-hmm. Zero tolerance. And so just tolerance, and for tolerance sake, it's not necessarily of the Lord, But what we should always do is love. Mm-hmm. It's just love. You can love someone without approving of what they're doing. But you don't say, well, you can bring all your gods with you. You can bring all your sin with you. And we're going to unify, because this is what Jesus said. You're about to be destroyed.
That's right.
You're about to be divided and destroyed. And as a matter of fact, right now in Stockholm, Sweden, I want you to hear the CBN segment, because this is what our president says. He really likes the model of this nation. And now look what's happening, because this, it's instead of e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. Now Sweden is, though we're one, we're many. And watch what happens with that.
When President Obama visited Sweden last year, he expressed his admiration for the Swedish model. And that should make Americans nervous, because a United Nations report says Sweden will be a third world nation in about 15 years, below Libya and Bulgaria. Sweden is a society that believes it is racing into the future, but critics warn that it's racing to the bottom. Welcome to Utopia, also known as Sweden. Sweden has been a laboratory of social experiments. Swedish leaders believe they're building the perfect society. And Sweden has been compared to a couple of nations which also tried to build perfect societies, North Korea and the Soviet Union. If you don't like how Utopia is being built here, you won't be shot like in North Korea, but your life could become very unpleasant very quickly.
Hallå, hallå. Jimmy Fredriksson from Expressen.
Jimmy Fredriksson? Ja.
This is a journalist from one of Sweden's leading tabloids confronting a Swede at his home. The man, a professor, made what he thought were anonymous negative comments on a website about immigrant problems in Sweden. But left-wing hackers helped the newspaper track him down and others like him so that they could be exposed before the whole nation as racist. This man, a manager, was fired because of it. Sweden's leftist establishment and media believe a cornerstone of their perfect society is multiculturalism, large-scale immigration from some of the poorest, most backward nations on Earth. And Swedes who disagree with that plan risk being labeled racist, fascist, even Nazi.
The rules of the game in Sweden is to avoid being hostile to immigration. It's the most important point to prove that you're friendly towards foreigners, you're friendly towards immigration.
Danish journalist Mikael Jolving is author of the book Absolute Sweden.
It's all about whether or not you can be said to be hostile to immigration. Once that is proven, you're out of the game.
It doesn't matter if Sweden's immigration model is failing miserably, if test scores in Swedish schools are plummeting, or if crime in some areas has skyrocketed. Immigrants burned the Stockholm suburb of Husby for over a week last year. Many Jews now live in fear of attacks by Muslim immigrants and are leaving. This former journalist for Swedish radio left last year and returned to her native Somalia. She told Swedish television that Mogadishu was safer than the immigrant suburbs in Stockholm. And forget about an American-style melting pot in which immigrants will someday learn to become Swedish. That's a racist idea, too. Jolving says Swedes are supposed to learn from immigrants and not the other way around.
Assimilation is completely out of the question.
Who says assimilation is completely out of the question?
Everybody in all mainstream political parties and media and platforms would laugh about the word assimilation is a Nazi word in Sweden.
We talked to several journalists who described a Stalinist-style atmosphere in Sweden, in which citizens are now afraid of saying anything that might get them labeled in the media as racist.
They point at you and say, you're a racist. Then you will have no career, no job, you might lose your family.
Swedish journalist Ingrid Karlqvist and Danish journalist Lars Hedegaard run the online newspaper Dispatch International, which covers issues like immigration that the mainstream media in Sweden ignores. But Karlqvist says their plan for a traditional newspaper failed because Swedes were too scared to have the paper delivered to their homes.
Because what if the mailman saw that you had this newspaper? What if your neighbor saw it? Then they might think that you are a racist or that you hate Muslims.
So we thought we could sort of make an impact. We still think we can, but it's tough going.
Dispatch International now hangs on through donations. Sweden has become a nation where some viewpoints are simply too risky to even read.
What wise Swedish parents do nowadays is to advise their kids not to interfere in the public discussion, not to express so-called radical ideas about this or that.
Because? Why? Why do they advise them?
Because they're afraid. Whether
that,
or not
that
this
their
is,
kids won't get work?
Yeah, it'll harm them.
That is a very bad situation because you live then in a country where you cannot solve any problems. You cannot even mention the problems.
Hedegaard, a Dane, was nearly killed last year in Copenhagen by an immigrant who came to his door and fired a gun at him. Carlquist, a Swede, has decided to leave Sweden because of the persecution of those who dissent. Sweden is not going to become a third world nation tomorrow, but according to one report, one day it will.
We had a perfectly good country, a rich country, a nice country, and in a few years' time, that country will be gone.
Dale Hurd, CBN News, reporting.
So think about the melting pot. Mm. I mean, this is what our president said. He thinks this is a great model. I mean, you look at all the things we talked about and, you know, organizing America, the Alinsky methodologies of doing that, and the things that we talked about, which you probably have a related link. You can find out about it, VFN Torch, that when, what is the melting pot? What actually happens? Well, you're seeing now, when people would come to America, they would assimilate to the American way of life. They would mm-hmm. become loyal. They have become a citizen. You have to say, I do solemnly swear and affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true fruit and allegiance to the same. And so, but this contradiction is saying, if we keep on bringing in diversity who says we're not going to be loyal to the Constitution, we're not going to be loyal to the founding reasons, but the model is, you know, though we're one, we're many. Jesus said, the end of that is destruction. Your nation will not stand. Your relationship will not stand. And what they said is that Sweden, which is a once wealthy nation, possibly in 15 years will be a third world country because of the very model that we're walking out right now in our own nation. It's not wrong for you to be loyal to the original ten of our nation. It's not wrong for us to say, you know, I'm loyal to God, one nation under God. That's who we are. It's not wrong for you to stand up and say, I pledge allegiance at the ball game, in the classroom, because you have to do that to become an American citizen. And our president, our vice president, our Congress, our senators, our governors, our military, everybody takes this same oath. And it's time for us to say, you know what? We want to assimilate in loyalty to America. It's not wrong for to be loyal to America. This day of soldiers killing soldiers and being divided and citizens against citizens and being against the Constitution, we've got to turn back and say, you know what? It's not wrong to assimilate to the intent and the purposes of this nation. A melting pot for one purpose, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.